for your love, Lord. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. If you're physically able to stand to honor his word. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Dear God, we're so thankful for your word this morning. As I think back over last week, I think of the time and just different parts of your word that you brought to my mind. I think of sitting at a funeral for Brother Conrad and how your word ministered, how your word brings so much, Lord, that we need. I'm reminded, Lord, at the hospital as we prayed, Lord, Brother Tim, that, Lord, just the promises of your word, they're all available. They're so powerful, and, Lord, they're so needful. And this morning, Lord, since the coming, and there's so many things that we're finding out from our family that we love so dearly, that there are physical needs and heartbreaks and confusion and needs and questions. And, Lord, there's so much that we brought to your house this morning. And, Lord, what we need is a fresh and a personal living word from you this morning. Lord, I give you the message, Lord, back that I feel like that you've given. And Lord, I pray that you'd remove any of my words that shouldn't be there and fill it more with your word. Lord, and I pray for every heart here this morning that our hearts and minds would be receptive to your word, that you would provide through your spirit that very thing we need. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that we're reminded of how much that you care for us. And Lord, that we as a church family might have that same care for one another, Lord, in whatever the circumstances and the journeys our life take us. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just move among us, Lord. And I pray most of all that one who's lost, Lord, just holding on to their last part of their self that they'll surrender today. And I pray for that one that's just blind to the fact that your word is testifying that they're lost. And today might be a day of salvation, Lord. When we give you this time, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we finished up last Sunday. We were talking about the idea of not missing God's word, not missing his word. We looked in the past about we don't want to miss that daily walk that he has with it, that we can have with him, pictured in Genesis. We don't want to miss that when we come to a time in life where how can we ever go forward? Something's happened. Something happened. How do we move forward? And we can remember how God parted those waters of the Red Sea. And I really believe that many of you are facing things today. And if you were honest for God, you'd say, I'm not seeing how to kind of move through next week. And you don't want to miss the fact that God still parts waters. Amen. God still makes a way. It's just miraculous in his mind. How that we don't want to miss our time watching with him in prayer. And I'm reminded more and more of the power of prayer and the need for prayer. It's amazing in the midst of trying to prepare to preach and trying to prepare to pastor and come. And so many things are going on in church life. And I'm finding out Sundays like you find out. Oftentimes people ask me about doing something Monday. I say I have to wait till Sunday night to see what actually is going on so I know what Monday looks like. Amen. But reminded, I do know about y'all. I'll be honest and confess it. One point during the service, and we're having awesome praise. I thank the choir, and I thank Deborah, I think Kathy, I think everybody, you as a church praising, and I sat down the pew over here at one point, and you know what Satan immediately wanted to do? He wanted to remind me of some sin early in the week. Amen? He really wanted to remind me of some sin in the early week, and I was so thankful that I didn't want to miss that opportunity just to watch with Jesus. And I just reminded old Satan right quick, I've covered in the blood. That's what the blood of Jesus, that's what forgiveness means. That we don't have to continually be guilty and beat up and be drugged down. But that's what Satan wants to do, amen? Remember the circumstances of life. He always wants to remind us of some sin, and sin that I confessed and sin I've been forgiven of. But he wants to remind us of it, amen? That's what he wants to do, so we don't want to miss those opportunities. And we think about not missing his word. All of Psalm 119, I encourage you, if you've never read and spent some time meditating, or if it's been a long time since you've been in Psalm 119, all of Psalm 119 is about the glorious word of God. It celebrates the word of God. It teaches us about the word of God. It just fills us up with so many truths about the word of God. And one of the things that I kind of left this thought with you as we left last Sunday is at the end of verse 9, look there at the end of verse 9, it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That phrase, according to thy word, I wrote in after that verse in my Bible, whose words? See, the Bible is telling us here in Psalm 119:9 that everything in our life and everything around us has been designed and set up that it be according to his word. It begins in that verse saying, how can a young man cleanse his way? So connects so much when I'm testifying about sin. I'd be a little worried about you if when you come in the house of God that Satan doesn't remind you of some sin. Amen? I've often said that a prime time in my house to have an argument, it was much more so early days in ministry than it is now. I think we're finally making some progress with God, but especially early in ministry, prime time in my house to have an argument between me and my wife was on Saturday night. Preferably around the 9 or 10 o'clock time when there's not much time between then and bedtime, to have something come up, and then invariably, Angie, what would happen is on Sunday morning when I got here, about the time that I'm sitting here, special music's being sung, old Satan would begin to remind me of that fight last night with my wife. Now, y'all are looking so super spiritual to me. Some of y'all are looking at me up behind, and I was like, well, we don't fight, you're lying. We ain't fought in a long time. I don't know if I believe it. I mean, really, folks, let's be honest at where we're at, amen? Life is difficult, right? And I know some of you are difficult to live with. At times, I'm difficult to live with. I mean, your husband and wives tell me often, it's private prayer requests, so I can't call names, but they tell me how difficult things are, amen? And we need to be honest about that. There's nothing worse than trying to come to God's house and put on your clothes and a smile, just say, oh, everything's glory, hallelujah. Sometimes it's glory, God help me, amen? What's going on in life. But it says to cleanse our way, and it describes that cleansing of sin, the real picture of that coming through Jesus, but that powerful phrase, to according to thy word, according to his word, everything according to his word. So I wrote in my Bible, so I said, whose word? Because we are bombarded, amen, we are bombarded by so many words coming from so many places and people that are not according to his word, amen. I was reminded of kind of a glimpse and picture, and I don't know a lot about the Supreme Court justices, but knowing that Merrick Scalia recently just passed away, I guess yesterday, but I read a comment last night that was so interesting. He's a very conservative judge. I don't know a lot about his beliefs, but some phrase stuck out, and I remember hearing this before, perhaps, it said that he was a, and I got to remember because I didn't write it down in my notes, but what's the exact phrase they used? It was that he was a literalist, if you would, an originalist. That he focused when he was sitting on the Supreme Court that the original intent were the words of the documents of our constitutional laws, the original meaning. Well, that's what we strive for as we study the Word of God, as we read it, as we have it in Sunday school and preaching. We want to know, what does God mean? What is it according to God's word? Amen? And to be like that, so we need to pray as we move forward in our country that we need people that are Supreme Court justices, and we need a president, and we need others that want to do according to his word. Amen? But more importantly to that is this phrase jumps off our Bibles this morning and really comes into our lives and says, our thinking needs to be according to his word. Amen? And any time that our thinking is not according to his word, then it's time for us to fall down and repent to that and to ask God to forgive us and to cleanse our way, as it says, and to refresh us that we want our thinking to be according to God's word. That's how I got off early in the week. I woke up one morning and my thinking was not according to God's word. Your home, I'm telling you, your home should be established, and everything that's going on in your home should what? Be according to God's word. And oftentimes an exercise we do, you know, when somebody does something really bad, we're pointing it out to our children or our husbands and wives, or, you know, there's some terrible sin or mishap. But what it would be like if we would spend more time in our homes, maybe just sitting down and analyze, said, let's take a review of the home, and let's review and see what was going on here in our home that's not according to God's word. There might be some things that you need to take out of your home, amen? There might be some websites that you don't need to go to. You might need to get a program like Safe Eyes or something on your computer that'll keep you or your children or somebody that comes. But what's going on? How is the conversation? What is the attitude? Is it according to God's word? And oftentimes we can all confess, amen, that it's not according to God's word. I mean, I tell you, the house can get full of what's coming out of the TV. It can get full of what we bring from the outside world, because the world we live in is not according to his word, amen? And we're bringing all that in. It's happening. I mean, really, the place where you work, God's design is to be according to God's word. And almost hear some of you silently gasping within your mind that, Lord, my workplace is so far from being according to his word. There's somebody say, my school is so far from being according to his word. And even today, we find churches that are not doing this according to God's word. Somebody reminded me recently, and I can't remember the subject. It was Wednesday night, and there was something that the church had kind of become very liberal, and the preachers even commented, well, things have changed. Things have just changed in our world. God hasn't changed. Everything is still to be according to his word. And I pray that till the day I die, whether it's my personal life, or I'm trying to help anyone, or trying to lead this church, or leave my home, or whatever it is, I want to be according to his word. Amen. We've got something to go by. And I encourage you, any time that if I ever get something stray from God's word, correct me on that. Let me know. They record every word I say. I've had that commented before. Somebody's come out the back door, and they kind of misconstrued something I said. And I said, listen, I want to stand corrected. Just get the tape from Brother Scott back there, and we'll go over it. Amen. We'll be accountable for his word, but we all should be accountable, because God is listening and recording every word that we say and every word that we think. And is it according to his word? What a powerful thing. And oftentimes, as I'm tying this message, don't miss his word. We miss it. Amen? We miss what his word has for us and what he wants to say for us. But there's a question asker in the Bible, and I think it's one of the greatest questions practically for moment by moment of the day, and even the world we live in. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 37. So hold your place here at Psalm 119 and turn up just a little bit to Jeremiah. In chapter 37, and I want you to hear, and we'll just read kind of the story of what's going on. I think it sets the stage of what God would have us look at today. And entirety of this, keeping in mind, thinking, what are you missing? What is missing from your life and your home and work and everything in our world be according to his word? So Jeremiah chapter 37, I love this passage. Jeremiah 37, let's just begin around about verse 11. It says, and it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. By the way, in Proverbs it mentions that we can separate ourselves and intermingle with all wisdom. It's talking about getting alone with God and going to his Bible and saying, God, I want the way I'm thinking, I want the choice I'm making, I want my family, I want it to be according. That it talks about separating ourselves. So Jeremiah, in a time of war and attack, he's trying to separate himself in the midst of all that's going on. And in verse 13 it says, and when he was in the gate of Benjamin, so he's trying to head back, you know, to family. He's trying to head back where God wants him to be at to serve. He says, the captain of the ward was there, whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, and he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. He said, hey, you've been hanging out with the enemy. That's where you've been at. And then said Jeremiah, it is false. How many times do our children say that? Hey, you didn't know. I didn't do that. It's false. How many times you had somebody accuse you? No, it's not really true. Jeremiah says, it's false. No, I've not done that. He said, I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not unto me. Helping you out there, make you feel a little better. And the Bible's so true. How many times are you trying to explain something to somebody and they just will not hear you? They just can't understand. I mean, you know the truth. You've got the facts. You know, and they just won't listen. So Urijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princesses. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him. It's getting worse. They're hitting him. They put him in prison. Now notice this. In the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. So we have a picture here in the Bible is they've gotten so far off from things being done according to God's word that first of all, the prophet, the very prophet, the one who has been brings the word of God and lets you know what it is so you can be according to it, they're not listening to him, which means they're not listening to God. It's gone to the point now they're accusing him of being one of the enemy, so they beat him and then they've locked him in prison. But look where the prison's at. They have turned, it says Jonathan the scribe. What's a scribe? A scribe is someone who would meticulously take and they would copy out the word of God. So they have turned a scribe's house, a place that was to be the very word of God, was the whole purpose of his life would be to copy out the word and make copies so it would go out to more people and so that more things would be according to his word. So they turned it into a prison. Now, folks, that's a reality of how your home and church and life can become. A place that can be intended. Your body is the temple of God. Your home, where you work, church is meant to be a place where it's according to God's word, that his word is paid attention to and it's being precise about, can be turned into a very prison to hold people captive. Amen. There's people that their lives become a prison of because it's got so much sin and so much things not according to the word of God. But so it goes on. So that setting, I just never had noticed where had they put him in this passage to what I was reading for this morning. But in verse 16, it says, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, look, is there any word from the Lord? The king secretly gets the guy out of prison. But who's the guy? Prophet of God. Man who lives his whole life according to God's word. His whole purpose is to find out what God is speaking, be in that close relationship with God so he can share with others. Can I say this? I believe, fast forward to today, February 14th, 2016, that your job as any Christian to be a fully devoted follower of Christ is to be just as important and passionate as Jeremiah, that you want to get a word from God, that you want to be in your Bibles and you want to be studying and meditating, you want to be involved in learning any time and all the time about God's word so that you can go out and give a word. Because folks, we live in a world where the world is crying out. They know what they're crying out for. And the real question is still the same question. Is there any word from the Lord? And look at what Jeremiah said. He says, there is. There is. Do you realize this morning that question, there are people in positions of power. Remember, we saw last Sunday how as North Korea had tested that missile, and we found that I think it was the U.S. and it was Japan and South Korea, and said, we are going to have an emergency meeting at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And the real question of that, I would just give anything, or no, I'd be boring to death, I guess, to hear all they talked about. But what the real question should be in that meeting, and what the real question should be with whatever you're dealing with today, okay? And I'm looking around, I'm looking at people who've lost a brother and a friend, and look at people who are facing surgery coming up and other things that I don't have any idea about. And so the question could be the same, is there a word from the Lord? And just the two-word answer that Jeremiah gave is the answer that resounds all that there is. Every person you're dealing with, every problem you're dealing with, anything that's going on, anything in your life not according to his word, anything that happens, the question that always needs to be asked, is there a word from the Lord? And the answer is always resounding, yes, there's a word from the Lord. But so often we don't have it, amen? You walk into a situation, and I pray that beginning with me and all of us, in every situation this coming week and the coming days, that we're talking to someone, or we're listening to some words, or something's going on, that we'd hear resounding from this Bible the question that King Zedekiah said, is there a word from the Lord? And realize that the answer is there is, and we need to be the one convicted and to stand up and share what that word is. Amen? There is a word from the Lord. He says, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now, wouldn't you like to be, look what he's saying. So the king secretly gets him out of prison. We're going to find he's even listens to him and is going to let him stay out of the prison and stay in the house for a while. But so he's called upon to say, is there a word from the Lord? Now, you'd think of all the words that the Lord had gave Jeremiah in this particular situation, because don't keep in mind, he's been beaten. He's been thrown in the dungeon. He's been there many days. And here's the king's got him out in the palace for a moment. And the word, you know, the chances are you're headed back to prison. Can I give him that God loves me? God loves the little children? Can we not come up with a word? And so Jeremiah, though, stands boldly before the king and says, well, yeah, you can be overtaken by the king of Babylon. There's judgment coming to you. Y'all, there's such a picture of that this morning. Listen, we're taken up in every situation, and the question hangs there, is there a word from the Lord? Now, I'm telling you, there's often times that you don't realize it. You're talking to a friend. You're talking to a teacher. You're talking to a coworker. You're talking to somebody at church. And they're not asking that question, Gloria. They're not asking you, is there a word from the Lord? But what either they're wanting to know, because did you say you're a Christian, because you go to church, because they've seen things, they're either secretly, they're in their mind asking that question, or they don't even know, they'll have no clue. But the most important question of their life is still, is there a word from the Lord? And they're looking and they're waiting for a word from us. I'm trying to think, and it's kind of half coming to my mind. That's the thing coming with age, but I'll never forget. Dennis called me and prayed for Dennis. So we talked about, he's got a surgery scheduled March 3rd, and they're going to go ahead and just do surgery on that growth that's got his adrenal gland. But I didn't even tell Dennis this, but it really got a hold of me. Dennis called me on the phone, and he's telling me the news of what's going on. And I'm headed down 218 from Charlotte. He's heading down from the doctor. I said, hey, where you at? Let's just meet. Let's get together, have lunch. Before we said that, or maybe it's the last time he called us, I guess last week, we're on the phone talking, and he tells me, and as a pastor, you know, I'm thinking, I need a word from the Lord, William. That'd be the best thing to give you, right, Dennis? Not what I think, get a word from the Lord. But before I could think of a word, before I could say of a word, Dennis is testifying that he had called his insurance lady about something, or went by there, I can't remember, and as he was there with the insurance lady, she was giving him scripture, amen? She was giving him scripture as he got his news and found what was going on. And I thought, how awesome is that? And so I'm kind of intimidated because I'm thinking, Lord, help me. I need to be at least as good as the insurance lady, you know, to have some word. But that's what we need, right? What we need, my situation is this. And so I want my responses. I want my words to be according to your word. So I thank you for that. Name person, Dennis, that, yeah. So he gives him bad news. Did you know that the greatest thing that you can do for a lost person, a lost friend, a lost family member, is you need to give them the bad news. Amen? Did you know it's impossible to ever experience the glorious news of the gospel, the abundant life John 10:10 talks about, to go to heaven one day? I mean, as hard as it is to lose loved ones, amen? But to be able to know, and a phrase I use often is healed in heaven. I'm so thankful. My dad just laid in a hospital bed and got worse and worse. I'm so thankful that he's healed in heaven. My mama misses him every day, but she wouldn't have him back anyway. That healed in heaven, amen? Angie, healed in heaven, amen? Healed in heaven, Johnny. It is so hard to put our arms around that, but we need to know that for that to happen, to be able to say that and know that. I shared recently, I was helping a family that had no pastor. Ladies, being honest, mama gave no indication, no testimony, no nothing that shows she ever knew the Lord. No hope. See, Jeremiah gave the bad news. We don't like to do that, do we? That's sometimes why it concerns me so often, and I get surrounded by things in ministry with other pastors. We're at the men's conference, Mike, and somebody comes up to me, a good pastor friend of mine, and he came over to me and said, "Lord, what happened? Did you fall off the end of the earth?" And I said, "I haven't seen him in a while." I said, "No, I haven't fallen off the end of the earth. I'm just finding that," and I didn't give him the whole story, but I'm finding if I really want my life to be according to his word, I must spend more time in his word, more time in prayer, and something's got to go. And y'all listen, no judgment here. And obviously many people are just smarter than I am, and they can take more in. But I'm finding if I'm going to get more of his word, so my life can be more according to his word, and this church can be, so I've got to cut out some of the other words. Amen. You can spend most of your day on the internet just finding out what other people's words are, or off the TV, or off the radio, or just talking on and on. And I love that brother dearly. As I say often, many of you say, "Hey, let's have lunch sometime." I'm like, "Hey, I'd love to do that. That's on my want-to-do list." But my have-to-do list and my emergency list keeps overriding. But unfortunately, too many times it's worldly things, and what I'm really trying to do is spend more time in prayer and his word. Amen. I was told it's striking and pretty good. And I don't know anything about this man's testimony, but I just heard off the radio. And remember that standoff that had been going on out west for so long? The sheriff made this statement. The sheriff of the area said this. He said, if you really want to do something to help the problems, and there's problems as always on both sides of those situations. So if you really want to help the problems, the sheriff himself said, get off the internet and get on your knees. Think about that. People get so riled up and they have a word to tell everybody and a word to post it out and a word for everybody to see. And in any situation, that preaches, y'all. That's biblical. That's according to his word. Get on our knees and get a word from God. Jeremiah said the bad news. And folks, I'm telling you, you've got to know the bad news, and that the bad news is still the bad news. And it is that if you are a sinner as we are, but lost that Jesus Christ, when you die, you go to hell. To be eternally separated from God, eternally separated from everyone that you knew. That's the bad news. And folks, in order to have the great news of the gospel, we got to show that. That's what Jeremiah did. You think that's what the king wanted to hear? But it was the truth. It was according to God's word that he given to Jeremiah. Look in verse 72 of 119 of Psalm. Go back to Psalm. I hope you held your place. And then go up to verse 72. Verse 72 of this psalm says this. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth, the word of God. If you don't take any word, take that word better from this message, from this scripture today. Better. What God is saying is, oh, y'all listen. It's going to be better the more we think according to his word. Your relationship, your dating, you're looking to be dating, it's going to be better if that's all set up on his word. Your marriage, it's going to be better if it's according. I challenge you. It's amazing what happens in the context of marriage. And what would it be like? I encourage couples that I counsel about getting married. I often tell them, I'll say, get out a sheet of paper. And somebody took an original me, somebody told me years ago, and I said, get together and write out all the things of why you love one another. Write them. Just have some fun with it. Get together. All the reasons why you love one another. Write them all down. I said, then flip the paper over and write down problems, problem areas that you already know that you may have to deal with. And I tell them this. I said, the love side, there'll be a time in your marriage you need to get that back out and look at it and be reminded why y'all get married. Because you're not feeling much love. And on the backside, it's kind of a continual thing, a list of things that work. I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing. You want a better marriage? Then take a look at your marriage and make it better by identifying what's not according to his word and put it in place. You want a better workplace? You want your class to be better? You want your church to be better? According to His Word. Psalm 119 verse 92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Psalm 119:88 says, quick and revive me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of my mouth. So it moves from being better, that things will be better according to His Word, that there'll be a delight in our lives. And the two go together. And I don't even have time to dig down farther in that. But better. I kind of like get laughable, and I shared Wednesday night, and I'll share this with the church. I had promised one Wednesday night way back about that I'd try to provide you some information that to help you as a Christian, as a believer in God's Word, as you go into election time, to try to help you. And I kind of instead laugh Wednesday night instead of crying. So as I began to try to put that together and share it with y'all, I got really frustrated in how hard that is to find out. You know, man, I'm thinking there's great resources to find out. I thought, you know, but my desire is simply this. I would desire as a Christian, and I desire for you as a church family, that when you go to vote, that you vote how? According to God's Word. Amen. It doesn't matter what party you're in or what you, but all that matters is according to God's Word. So as I went out and looked, I found one place that had asked all of the presidential candidates to give their testimony. That's a powerful one. It asked them a bunch of questions, but said, give your testimony. Couldn't find a single one that had responded with their testimony. Scary. Now, I share this with, it's AFA.com. If you want to write that down, that's real simple. Threeletters.com, AFA.com. It's American Family Association. It has on a lot of the biblical themes that are going on, things you hear about marriage and things about it. It literally has the response of the candidates. A lot of them don't answer, amen. But the desire with that to be is to help you, that when you do vote, that you do it according to God's Word. So that's the best. Like I said, Wednesday, if you can find some better, then share them with me. I'll share them with the church. But AFA.com, you can look at each one, and it will tell you different things they believe. And the neatest thing is this. When they won't answer, when they didn't answer, they'll give you a quote of what the person has been saying in public about the issue. So you kind of get an answer, whatever. But we want things to be according to God's Word. And I can't say that enough. Because, y'all, The according to God's Word, let me help. According to God's Word, it doesn't say that us Christians finally gather together and around God's Word, and we elect a president who does everything according to God's Word, and things just begin to move so much smoother and better. It doesn't say that anywhere. According to God's Word, it doesn't say that, you know, we've got to be real careful with the Supreme Court balance of conservative or liberal. I mean, we're supposed to be more conservatives, and look what they've done recently. I mean, you know, but according to God's Word, that doesn't happen. According to God's Word, there's a date and a time that no one knows but God the Father Himself. There's a date and time that God has determined that all of this stops. He'll rapture. And I don't even think the church is a good term. He'll rapture every true believer of Jesus Christ up in the air with Him. Be united with loved ones. They'll come from heaven. We'll come. What a glorious day. We'll enter a time of tribulation. 3.5 years of tribulation, the Bible says, according to God's Word, then 3.5 years of great tribulation, 7 years. See, according to God's Word, that's where we're headed. And according to God's Word, that's the message that all of us Jeremiahs need to have as we're talking to people. Be real careful getting you a candidate that you're putting all your energy in. Be careful you get on the bandwagon of all these discussions, what's going on across the world. Be careful, because if our thinking is according to God's word, we'll become like old Paul. You know what Paul said? I love this. He said, I just determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Would you bow with me? Lord, I pray, Lord, I really sense a desire in our church family that we really want to do things according to your word. Not according to how it's been done before, not according to how it's done anywhere else, but Lord, just according to your word. Lord, help us with that. And Lord, that's impossible for us to begin when, Lord, we've got some that we love dearly that don't know Jesus. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, your life's not according to his word. And really, the simple word that he has for you is that Jesus died for you. He rose again for you. He's knocking on your heart's door and he wants to save you according to his word. And then begin to give you an abundant life, John 10:10 says, according to his word. And a home one day in heaven according to his word. Lord, how about it, Christian? What is it right now in your life that you need to be? You need an answer. You need desperately. You've got that question. Is there a word from the Lord on what I'm dealing with? And Jeremiah's answer is still true. There is. And I find there's no better place to start before I begin to read God's word is just get on my knees. See, this morning you can come and get on your knees at the altar and you can begin to ask God to give you that word you need. He'll begin to speak through you through his spirit. And then later today, he'll guide you if you'll get in his word and you begin to search and you'll just be amazed at what he's got to say. Preacher, you mean my situation that I'm dealing with, home, work, school, church? There's a word, yeah. There is. There is. Maybe God's calling you to be part of our church family. We invite you to come. Just according to his word, where he's leading you, what his will is for your life. Just be obedient to him. Whatever the need is, we pray it'll be according to his word. Lord, help us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you stand, turn to page 591. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in my presence.
You know, I'm aware it's Valentine's Day, and I know many of you probably like to carry your loved one out for supper tonight. So I want to make that possible. Restaurant be too crowded early, especially, but be back here at 6. We're going to have supper. We're going to have supper with the one who loves you most. And that's free. It's free. I encourage you to bring your Vineyard Valentine with you and come. And we're going to have the Lord's Supper and worship Him and have a special time. And you have plenty of time to go out and eat if you want to after that. But I was trying to pray what to do tonight and make it special. And I thought nothing more special be obedient when He calls us. And who loves us? No one loves us like Jesus does. So I encourage you to come tonight. Make that the beginning of any plans that you've got about love in the worldly way. Make that the beginning tonight. Be back at 6 tonight. Byron, would you close us in prayer?